There's a, I mean, it's no accident we're studying them. We're beginning to have an understanding of the meat offering as we come into Pentecost. There's something in the scriptures for Pentecost called a new meat offering. And it means that there's a meat offering that goes, you know, and all of us have been offering a meat offering without knowing it, and it's a, in effect, the way we've related to people, the way we've related to our spouses, our each other, people in the world, everything. And now for Pentecost, there's a new meat offering. And let's go to Numbers 28. Verse 26. Also in the day of the first fruits, when you bring a new meat offering unto the Lord, after your weeks be finished, ye shall have a holy convocation, ye shall no servile work. And I mean, this is the offering for Pentecost.
What is convocation?
Holy gathering. Convocation is a gathering. Just a gathering. But you shall offer the burnt offering for a sweet savor unto the Lord, two young bullocks, one ram, seven lambs of the first year, and their meat offering. Their meat offering, remember? A flour mingled with oil, 3/10 deals unto one bullock, 2/10 deals unto one ram, and several tenth deal unto one lamb throughout the seven lambs. And one kid of the goats to make an atonement for you. You shall offer them beside the continual burnt offering and his meat offering. They shall be unto you without blemish, and their drink offering. Now, talks about the burnt offering and their meat offering. It talks about the burnt offering and his meat offering. And then it talks about the new meat offering. And it's the only time in the scriptures that it uses that word, the new meat offering.
And I've never seen it said before, after your weeks be out.
Yeah.
Is that the Pentecost?
Yeah, that's the Feast of Weeks, after the 7 weeks.
Seven sevens.
Yeah. Now, what is this new meat offering? We got to offer the regular meat offering with the burnt offering, but there's a new meat offering, a new thing. Spiritually, what it means is that there is a new way to relate to the human race. There's a new way to relate to each other. There's a new way to relate to your husband or your wife. There's a new way to relate to your kids. It's the new meat offering. Remember, the meat offering is always how you relate to the people around you. The burnt offering is your responsibility to God, which was met in Jesus Christ. The meat offering now is how you relate to your neighbor, how you relate to human race, also met in Jesus Christ. But listen to what it says in verse 31. They shall be unto you without blemish. In other words, you shall see them without blemish.
See the
burnt offering, the meat offering. See that for right now, since we're, you shall see that the new meat offering has no blemish in it. Now remember. Remember the strange thing that what this new meat offering is? The actual, the physical aspect of it. Where is it?
This, what it says new, so this is actually a differentiated, I mean, this, the new is a specific, means
right. It's a different one. Remember, The new meat offering. It's prepared. It's two loaves. It's prepared from the best wheat grown in the best district of the country. It's brought to the temple in sheaves. It's thrashed and ground and passed through 12 sieves. The Omer for Passover was passed through 13 sieves, remember?
Was it barley?
Passover was barley.
Oh, okay.
This is wheat.
Passover. Pentecost is wheat. Passover, the bread of affliction. Barley, the bread of the poverty, the bread of terrible poverty. No leaven. Pentecost, it's the best wheat grown in the best district, the best there is with leaven. It's the only public meat offering, it's the only offering in the Bible that has leaven. But it redefines leaven. New meat offering, new way of relating. From the flour, two omers, double that for Passover, were used for the two loaves. The loaves were baked the evening and the evening before in the temple. Each contained 5.1 pints of flour. And all these numbers are significant. A meat offering could not have more, a private meat offering could not have more than a specific amount of meal in it because it had to have only the maximum amount that was used on the Feast of Tabernacles because nothing could exceed the Feast of Tabernacles in value. So there's a number of pints of wheat or flour that could be used in these offerings, but it could never exceed the amount of flour that was used in the Feast of Tabernacles because that is the fullness, the end, the result. Nothing can exceed that. And contrary to the rule of the sanctuary, these two loaves were leavened. Leavened loaves. The lambs were waved alive and sacrificed. The breast and the shoulder of each part of each lamb were laid beside the two loaves, and they then were waved up and down and back and forth, facing east. Just as they were doing that in the temple while those Hallel was being sung, time was ripped on the Feast of Pentecost. No part. The priest ate the sacrificial meal of the loaves and the lamb. What wasn't offered up, burned up on the altar as the meat offering, the priest had to eat. Now, all of us are priests by. We had to eat it not before morning, it had to be eaten before midnight. After that was done, then the people brought the freewill offerings, and the evening was spent in the festive meal eating blintzes.
Blintzes isn't in here, is it?
But that's what the festive meal was made of, according to
the culture.
Well, no, according to the Talmud, the oral law.
Okay.
And it was the all anyone, all strangers, all poor. And even the Levites were bidden. On the Feast of Pentecost is when all of the scriptures about the Levites were read.
Hmm.
We'll read them. But it's the scriptures in Ezekiel were read where the Levites had been gone for years and years and years and years, thousands of years, and they brought into the picture. the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel 44, that reading is read on the Feast of Pentecost. But what is the leaven? That's what we want to know.
Where is that?
What?
Is it the leaven? Scripture about leaven? Is that in this? Or is it just something that we know about?
Something in what? In the Bible?
Yeah.
Of course.
I mean, I was just looking. It's not in this whole.
Is it Numbers 26?
No, I mean, no.
I've been looking for it. I thought I was blind.
No, it's in Leviticus.
Okay. That's all. Go ahead.
It's all over the place. I mean, you've got it. You've got those scriptures in your little Pentecost packages. But what in the world is this leaven stuff?
We're talking about the new leaven stuff, right?
That's the leaven that's in the offering.
Yeah.
Which leaven doesn't appear in any of the other meat offerings?
None of the other offerings, period.
Given.
What does it mean to us? Does it mean does it mean the Holy Spirit is leaven? What does it mean to them?
One time a year you have leaven in an offering, that's got to be a big deal.
The rabbi said that. Have something to say about that.
Since we began talking about stuff, I felt like that we were to be a leavening in the church as a whole. I don't know.
Let's go to Matthew 23. No, Matthew 13. Verse 33, one verse. Another parable spoke he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal until a whole was leavened. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will utter my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept secret, the foundation of the world. So what could leaven be?
Well, it permeates everything. A little leaven does, in fact, leaven.
Permeate the whole lump.
So one molecule affects all the others.
One molecule will...
So maybe Larry's right. One little man who believes affects every other.
But how does it affect you? How does it affect you? We've just gone through Passover when he spent all his time purging out leaven and burning it and destroying it and fondling it and analyzing it and declaring it null and void as dust of the earth. And that'll come 50 days later, and then it comes along, same word, leaven. So now we've got leaven in us and we're offering it unto God as a holy sacrifice.
Yeah, every part is him. That the leaven from God mingled with us shows that everything about us is God. Everything in, out, around, we see all and in all. Christ is everything.
That's two loaves, leaven.
If you were leavened before... I mean, if you're an idiot before you believe, you're still an idiot after you believe, but you believe. If you translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, you're an asshole then, you're an asshole now. Okay, on the one side, you're trying to do everything you can to get rid of the stuff, whatever the stuff is that's unacceptable. After whatever that, I don't know the theology, but on the other side, that thing that you try to get rid of is that which is the offering. The thing that horrible thing is the thing that's offered up.
And you see it, so.
You understand that you have been perfect from before the foundation of the world. Does that communicate at all?
That has academic acquiescence, no problem. Emotional acquiescence is difficult sometimes.
Two loaves. Only sacrifice, only offering in the history of Israel for which leaven is acceptable. Two loaves waved before, and the importance of those two waves was such, two loaves that were waved was such that when they were waved with understanding, as the Hallel was being sung, and I'm sure it was Psalm 118 at that particular part, save us now, I'm sure at that part, the understanding, the eyes were open to such an extent that it ripped time at 120 places.
Behind the veil of time, the spirit is waiting to just...
That's all that happened. The sound, there was a sound of a mighty rushing wind, but there was no wind. There was the appearance as fire sitting over every one of the 120 people, but there was no fire. They first heard the sound, then they saw. And it was because of what was taking place in the temple as a completion of that which was done and foreordained from before the foundation of the world. It was big, big. The only offering in the history of Israel for which leaven was permitted, not only permitted, required. Same word for leaven. It's not different words.
Different vowel point?
No, different vowel point. Same word. And it just destroys modern theology because, you know, the Zola Levites of the world say that the leaven is hidden sin.
So here we're requiring hidden sin.
We're requiring hidden sin in the offering.
No problem.
Is it
the other thing that happened?
Does the leaven make the lump one lump?
The other thing that happened was that on the bunch, you know, as we said, and I talked about the memo, but a bunch of things happened. Korah's rebellion happened, and the blood budding of the rod happened on the feast of Pentecost. Somehow that's involved in this mystery. If our job is to present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, if now you are complete in Him, if by one offering He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, that means that you have never been not perfect. If you have been perfect, if He by one offering hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, the only thing, the only variable in the equation is whether or not you knew you were sanctified. You understand that? It's not whether or not you were sanctified, because by definition we have been sanctified since before the foundation of the world. If we were chosen in Him, then we are in location of sphere. It's a positional thing. We've always been in Him. We've always been sanctified. We've always been perfect. We've always been perfected forever. Why?
Well, I'm thinking about, you know, the seed that was shed on all flesh at Pentecost. That's that germ that was placed in us.
I want you just to contemplate these things. I don't want to go through and I don't want to go through and say, okay, this is why I did it. Just contemplate on the idea of leaven, and that it's required for the offering. Search it out. Talk about it. Make it meat. Make the meat offering meat. Grab hold of it. Shake it up. Smell it. Analyze it. Taste it. Hold it up to the light. Wave it around. But see it in the context of seeing only. I mean, i.e. that there is we are ready for a new meat offering in us and how we relate. And I mean, this is a perfect example.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of stuff to think about in that. When you were saying that, I was thinking about vessels of wrath and vessels of mercy. And again, think about a vessel as something that can, you know, as a loaf. And then I thought about the loaf, the difference in the loaf at Passover. You know, it didn't have time to be leavened because it wasn't it had to be in a hurry. It couldn't be at rest. And then this new loaf, you know, I mean, we know that you have to enter into the rest. And so it, you know, so there's time to be leavened in it. So there's just, I mean, it just, you go on and on.
I'll give you a hint. The component in the what leaven is, isn't the resurrection. Leaven is the ascension. And that it isn't being resurrected from the dead, it's being transfigured.
Yeah.
And so it's a wholly new way of looking at life. It's looking at life, new meat offering is looking at each other from the top down instead of the bottom up. Hmm. It's looking at each other and looking at life from the position of the ascension. Not even from the position of the resurrection, because the resurrection brought him back to where he was, a different form. But the ascension, and he was ascended. Remember the Shag Bar Lomar, you know, the thing that happened at 40 days was the ascension. The ascension is the leaven. And hear me. And that's the only thing. Now hear me, hear what he says about the Holy Spirit. He said, I will send you the Comforter, or the Paraclete. When he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I ascend to the Father. That ascending to the Father is the leaven that is leavened, the offering on the Feast of Pentecost. And what it does is it permits us to forever and always, from this moment forward, to let the scales drop from our eyes that we can see from the tent top. It's really important.
Because we're seated with
where that. We have ascended.
Yeah. Whenever when we were talking stuff about last night, and it was brought up how that there are nights when everybody unrehearsed is speaking the same thing on this block, you know, it happens on some nights when nobody is following the plan or something, but we're all, you know, it's happened several times. Everybody talks about the cross, and, you know, Beth
Beth has friends in Bananas and talks to Joyce Anna and stuff, and maybe even Judy, and everybody was talking about the same thing. And I was sitting here, I was just realized, you know, it just began to dawn on me that it's possible to see, I mean, to truly see things from God's position.
Yeah.
And I guess I had to, you know, that, I mean, we hear that, you said that many times, but it had never dawned on me how that could even be, that we could live like that, that we could actually, but I see the evidence of us responding to his spirit all as one. You know, so I know that's possible, but to see that it would be possible for us all to see from his view is something that, you know, I mean, it's possible. All I can say is I see it's possible.
And that's the meaning, that's the new meat offering, the leaven. The leaven of, again, it sounds ludicrous to think that the leaven is the ascension. Especially when you just got through saying that it's the same leaven that was excised at Passover. It's exactly the same thing, except the only thing that changes is the position that you look at.
Well, I thought about just now, but Christ is, you know, that's the spirit of truth. Christ is come in the flesh, not did, not will, but is come, and he is ascended to the Father. And when we don't see that, then, you know, then we've been deceived by the evil one, and we have the spirit of Antichrist.
Yeah.
But I hadn't thought about that being in the ascension. I mean, when he is come in mortal flesh.
But he has come ascended.
Yeah.
Mortal flesh.
And
But that's why it's so ludicrous or so odious to hear about this yo-yo theory of the rapture. Because He is already ascended. We are already seated in the heavenlies. Now we can, again, and it sounds simple, but I mean it's massive. When you start looking at life, Vic came and talked to me, and I called Pete in, because I couldn't find you guys. And so Vic says, this was, you know, a couple days ago. And so I said, Vic, why the hell do you keep coming back here? And he said, you know, in his own inimitable mumble, he said, well, it's because you guys are the only ones that live what you preach. And that's what keeps drawing me back. But, the big but, you always fuck up my head. But the idea then, just think what it's going to do to our heads if we start looking at life from the top down.
Thing I'm keen on is for some reason I'm thinking about Passover purging the leaven. To me, it's seeing you as the firstborn that died. You were part that you died, and the best thing best time I've ever seen that was when I was about 15 or 16, and I was. I was just miserable. I was suicidal. I was just not couldn't stand it anymore. And I was up near the high school and just sitting out by myself late at night and just looking at just million stars. I mean, you can see the Milky Way 300 nights out of the year out there. And there was just a million stars up there, and I was just completely crushed. I mean, I could, for some reason, I imagined myself being in a reverse position. If that were me up there looking down at the earth, I knew that I wouldn't even be the dimmest spot of light up there. And I felt like, that's it. There's no reason for you to exist. You don't exist. in the big picture, you're not even there. You know, and I was just the smallest, most miserable I ever felt. And then when I felt that, there was another feeling, there was a voice inside of me that said, yeah, there is no reason for you to be alive, but you are. God could have just as easily not bothered, but you're here. And it's like all of a sudden it was just poof. I've never had a serious thought about suicide again. I knew there was a reason I was here.
Did you say poof or poof?
Poof.
It's like, I mean, it's incredible to what you're saying about being up. I mean, all of a sudden it's the exact thing. I saw myself as being absolutely nothing. And then seeing that getting to that point was necessary to see how much work was done.
Yeah.
I saw someone talking about the wave offering when everyone understood at the same time the power that's opened up. That's wild, that all understand the keys with Larry was saying too, everybody having the same thoughts happening at the same time.
Can you imagine, again, when 120 saw the same thing at the same time?
Yeah.
Time shook, it just about ended.
And then went poof.
Yeah. And that same, again, after that experience, that handful of people turned the world upside down. There's never, ever been anything that compared to the effect that that one singular experience on the Feast of Pentecost had on not just a generation, on 2 millennia. Now, we can have the same thing. Except this time we'll bring it to an end. This time, when the veil rips over each one of us, we'll reach up and amen?
Amen.
So that's what I want us to that anticipation, not to rip in the just let's be satisfied with looking from the top down. So the ascension, not the resurrection even, the ascension is the leaven in the two wave offerings. And the ascension will leaven everything about you.
Yeah.
No longer you gotta hear this. It's more than the resurrection.
You remember what happened to Peter? I mean, he went a fishing after the resurrection, and after the ascension, he went a fishing. He went a fishing for men. I mean, there is something.
Sure. And after the ascension, after the view of life from the top down, then there's not a man on the face of the earth, including me, that can ever put a trip on you again.
That sounds good.
Yeah, I never really considered the difference between. I mean, it's not enough just to know Jesus is resurrected from the dead, but that he's ascended to the Father. I mean, that's the thing that changed there. I mean, they lived a life without power, even after he was resurrected, until he was ascended.
All we have to do is see the same thing. What did you say?
We've never really talked much about the ascension.
No, I know. We purposely haven't. Okay, take a big guy.